Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
To be with you on this Monday morning.
Monday morning is the time to get the day started. Monday morning is the time to get the week started. And we are here to help you get your day started, to help you get your week started. In fact, we are here to help you keep moving throughout the entire year, throughout your entire life. What a blessing it is to be with you on this glorious Monday morning. As I look out my window, I see roses, and I see blue sky, and I see sunshine, and what would be green trees if it was that season of the year. The trees are bare, but at the same time, it is indeed a glorious Monday morning. I am so glad we had a glorious Monday as well as a glorious Sunday to help get this new year started. You may have heard me say somewhere along the way that I love all of the holidays. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love Epiphany, and we might talk a little bit about that this morning because it is connected to the start of a new year. But I want you to know that my favorite holiday is the start of a new year. There's just something about, and I know we can do this any time of year, I guess we call it a reset. But there's something about doing it at the beginning of a new year. I know I love to get out that new planner and see a blank planner and start filling it in. And then I love to see what it looks like at the end of the year as I get ready for a brand new one. So I have my new planner. And by the way, I'm going to put in a plug for Passion Planner. I discovered that one last year. Shout out and a thank you to my friend, Reverend Dolly Pankey, who introduced me to that. And it's just a wonderful planner. And anyway, I've gotten mine open and gotten it started. And, my actual copy will come in the mail in a few days. It's so popular, you have to wait on them. But anyway, they allow you to print some, which is wonderful. They allow you to print some pages to get you started. And so I've done that. Anyway, it's absolutely wonderful. It is called Passion Planner, and I just love mine. At any rate, that is part of what I do to help get my year started. I don't know what you do. The other thing that I do is a lot of reflection at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. So I hope that you have engaged in some of those kinds of activities in the last few days, a few months of the year, and then as we begin 2016. I want to let you know that that will make such a difference in your life. If you have not taken time to do all of that, I know we are living in the 21st century. I know we are busy, busy, busy. I know we feel like we've got more things on our to-do list than we can take care of. But at the same time, we need to understand that there's nothing like taking some time to be still, be quiet, to listen to God, to reflect, just take in life. And why do we need to do that? Because that helps us get those new epiphanies that we need in our lives. Epiphany is a season that has long been recognized by churches, especially the Orthodox churches. But I have, over the years, grown to really appreciate Epiphany and how it fits into the idea of a new year. Of course, we know the idea of Epiphany has to do with aha moments, eureka moments, new insights, life-changing insights, life-changing moments, and how it is a new insight and will move us in a new direction. And certainly the story of the, we call it the three wise kings or the three wise men. And I don't want to deal a whole lot with that this morning, but technically the scripture does not say there are three. That idea came from the fact that there are three gifts noted that they brought to Jesus. But what I want you to notice, of course, about this, I'm not going to go through the passage because I think the story is very familiar, but I want you to remind us that they went looking for Jesus. They went, oh, we don't know how long, perhaps as long as 600 miles looking for Jesus. And when they found him in a dream, God told them to go another way. That was their epiphany, that they needed to go another way. And so we can have epiphanies in our own lives that tell us that we too need to do something different, go another way, think another way, look at things another way, look at life another way, approach life from a different perspective. All of those kinds of things can fall into a new epiphany for us. And especially when it happens around this time of year, we can have an epiphany that will help us really get our new year started. So I encourage you again, if you have not already taken time to do some reflection, I want to make sure that you don't let this new year get too far ahead of you, and make sure that you take some time to spend alone with God. That kind of time pays tremendous dividends in our lives, and it's so unfortunate that we live in a day and a time and a culture that does not encourage us to do that, and in fact, actually wonder sometimes what's wrong with us because we're not busy, busy, busy all the time, that we're taking time. And yet, if we can begin to do that and receive those dividends in our lives, I'm convinced that we will do that on a regular basis. Before we get started with the text this morning, I want to recommend that, you know, we do a portion of that each day, and that I have what I call mini retreats. And so sometimes when I just have some free time, I'll just spend some extra time, or at least quarterly, perhaps you might want to put in a system like this where you take some extra time and have a mini retreat each quarter. And certainly that would mean one about mid-year, and of course one somewhere at the beginning of the fall possibly, and then also in December, January, Thanksgiving to January, you know, somewhere in there. So I just want to recommend that you make this a regular part of your life, these kinds of times of slowing down intentionally and reflecting on life in general and your life, reflecting on God, reflecting on humanity, really looking at the big picture. And that brings me to what passage that I want to talk about on this morning as we get into the new year. Actually, the entire passage comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. However, I'm only going to read just the first five verses to get us started and to get us thinking in the same direction on this morning. Let me suggest, first of all, that each of the gospel writers has their own take on how they present the life of Jesus Christ. In terms of genealogy, what we would call genealogy, Matthew goes back to Abraham, and he makes a connection with Jesus' family group. We all know that Jesus is Jewish. Jesus comes from the area of the world that we now call the Middle East. And so when Matthew wrote his story, he wanted to make sure that his writers understood the Jewish connections that Jesus has. And so he did his genealogy back through Abraham. Matthew, by the way, does not do a genealogy. He just tells us the story of Jesus' ministry. Luke, of course, is the let me back up just for a moment. Matthew is the one who gives us the story about what we call the three kings. Matthew in that story also lets us know about the tragedy that required Mary and Joseph and Jesus to seek refuge in Egypt, the violence and all of that part of the story. That's not my emphasis this morning, but I do want to remind us that that certainly is part of the story, and also to remind us that the shepherds appear at the birth of Jesus, but these, let's call them three kings, they don't appear until about 2 years later or something, somewhere in there. I don't want to dwell on that, but I do want to remind us of that on this morning. So Matthew goes back to the Jewish genealogy. Mark has no genealogy. Luke is the story that we love to hear about the angels and the shepherds. And Luke, when he does his genealogy, he takes us back to Adam. In other words, he wants to connect Jesus to all humanity. And so he does that by giving us a genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam. But John gives us the big picture. You know, you would think that Luke's genealogy back to Adam would be, oh, a big picture. You know, Matthew gives us the picture to Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. But I want to tell you, John has the bigger picture in mind. He is thinking not just about humanity, but he is thinking about all creation for all time, past, present, and future. He has the big idea in mind. And so we can think of these beginning verses as his version of a birth story. And his version is the big, big picture. His is what we would call the cosmic picture. And I want to read the passage for us this morning. Again, it's the first chapter in John. It does cover the first 18 verses, but I'm only going to read the first 5 verses for us on this morning. I'm going to read it this morning from the New Living Translation. Let me put a pin in that just for a moment. I believe when I gave you the scripture reference last week for the wonderful passage in Isaiah that talks about, I'm paraphrasing it now, where God talks about, I'm doing a new thing, forget what happened in the past, I'm doing a new thing, don't you already see it, it's already happening. Anyway, that comes from Isaiah 43, and I believe the verses are 18 and 19. I believe I gave you the wrong chapter last week, chapter 13, and if you went looking for that, you certainly did not find it. But I want you to know that it's not 13, it's 43. Okay, all right, back to the scripture for this morning, coming to us from the Gospel of John, reading from the New Living Translation. It reads like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Wow, what a powerful passage to talk about the life of Jesus Christ. And, you know, even when we write the date, when we turn over our calendars and we write 2016, we are writing that particular number in relationship to Jesus Christ, in relationship to his life, whether we recognize it or know it or not. By the way, in postmodern times, we use BCE for before common era and CE for common era, representing the same thing that BC and AD represent in relationship to the years. However, the BCE and the CE are used actually so that to take it away actually from the connection to Jesus. But I want to suggest to us that the connection is always there. In other words, in modern times, postmodern times, many people want it to be not to be Christ-centric, and so they use that nomenclature. But I just want to make us conscious of that, that even when we do that, we are still setting our calendars by the life. That lets us know that this one life made such a difference for all humanity. And as we begin this new year, I want us to think about a few of the implications of what this birth of Jesus has meant to all humanity. And I want to suggest that it's like, we call them do-overs. We call them makeovers. It is, in effect, a rebirth, not only for humanity, but I want to suggest that, as Caroline Lewis has suggested, that this is a rebirth of God. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that with the presence of Jesus Christ as a human being dwelling among us, God has, in effect, a whole new experience, a whole new way of relating to humanity. We are very conscious of the transcendence of God, how it is that God is different from us. We might say higher than us. We might say above us. We might say God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, the same way that the prophet Isaiah said it. We might God in so many different ways, and I want to suggest that not only do we do that in Christianity, but Judaism recognizes the transcendence of God, and Islam recognizes the transcendence of God, and in their own way, other religions, I won't go into any details, but I'm reminded also that even those, Butner reminded us of that, that, you know, in some shape, form, or fashion, in effect, humanity recognizes this transcendence of God, of in somehow being present and yet being different than all of us. In the Old Testament, let me back up just for a moment. In the Old Testament, then God relates to humanity out of this transcendence. And so we see the various stories where occasionally God works in a particular life, in a particular situation, but largely God is working with the nation of Israel as a whole. However, once we get to the New Testament, then we begin to have Jesus indwelling humanity, taking on flesh. And so then God begins, in effect, to have another way, a new way of connecting with and dealing with humanity. I sometimes remind us that the Old Testament is, let me back up. Sometimes people say that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are not the same God. I want to suggest that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are indeed, of course, the very same God, except, and what I want us to understand is that in the Old Testament, God is working out of transcendence, and in the New Testament, the focus is on the immanence of God, how much God is able to relate to us, how much God is, let me use the terminology, like us, whereas in the Old Testament, we have an emphasis on how much God is not like us. Now, the truth of the matter is that both of those are true at the same time, that God is transcendent and that God is immanent, and God is with us. We use the word Emmanuel to talk about Jesus and to talk about his being with us. And I want to suggest that what we encounter in our lives is affected by what we believe, by how we see the world, about how we think about things. And as we come into 2016, as we say hello to 2016, I want us to be reminded of our connection to God and how awesome we are as people. Yes, I know we have ups and downs. We have good days and bad days. We have challenges. We have blessings. I know all of that is part of the mix. But as we come into 2016, I want to remind us of how awesome we really are. The book of Genesis really helps to point that out in the creation stories when it lays out the story, especially the first one that starts in the first chapter of Genesis, goes over to the first four chapters of chapter two, Genesis. But this passage of scripture lets us know that God and humanity are connected, that humanity is significant and important. The way the story is laid out, all creation has been done, and then humanity is on the scene. That's like the icing on the cake when humanity shows up on the planet. And I want to remind us and encourage us to come into 2016 with this spirit of understanding how wonderful we are, how awesome we are. Notice I didn't say perfect, but I want to remind us of that. So often, people, because of the issues and problems and challenges and suffering and difficulty and all of that, it's just easy to forget how wonderful we are and what a wonderful gift it is to be alive. And so I want you to come into 2016 saying, hello, 2016, open that door and be excited about all of the blessings, all of the challenges that lie ahead for you in this year. May you have a wonderful year this year. We'll talk more about various things. I do want to remind you that Take Back Your Life in 2016, to be on the lookout for that, my webinar on that. And I just want us to work through 2016 together and have an absolute wonderful, fabulous year. I want you to know that, excuse me, please. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself. That God loves you so much, it will take God an entire eternity to give you all of the love that God has for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Until the next time.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on. Just hold on, change is coming. way. A move of God.